Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. It lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to the city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, there'll be no sorrow there.
Yeah. Well, that was a long intro, wasn't it? But my computer is hanging here, and it would not allow me to stop the song. So that was the story there. So anyway, everybody, welcome to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. In August, it will be our 7th year. Hard to believe, many, many hundreds of programs that we've done over the years, and we still have so much to talk about, don't we? So we can never run out of topics. The Word of God is full of wisdom and good information and history, so we don't run out of topics. Also, I want to give a big hello to our new listening audience there on Rapture Ready Radio. And many thanks to Jackie Alnor for having that wonderful network, Rapture Ready Radio, and I recommend it highly. Many wonderful teachers there. How wonderful it is to have Blog Talk Radio and to have this outlet, because, you know, we probably would not be allowed on most so-called Christian networks, because they probably wouldn't agree with our doctrines. But we try to preach the gospel honestly. We don't do any fundraising. I do not do any fundraising on my program. If the Lord can't take care of this program and take care of me, then I better shut my mouth. Amen? Because if we're going to walk by faith, we have to be people of faith. And I'm not opposed to people taking up offerings. That's okay if that's what you want to do. And I'm not opposed to people writing a book and selling a book. I just finished a book that I worked on for over 2 years. And that doesn't even include many thousands of hours that I put into researching the material that was in the book. So when you are a writer, that is a profession. So I'm not opposed to those things. Anyway, I wanted to mention to you just quickly before I bring my guest on, Brenda Johnson, because we have a jam-packed program today. We're going to talk about the new Muslim mayor in London and what the implications of that is, and also Jehovah. We're going to continue on the subject of the Jehovah Witnesses. But last week I tuned into Rod Parsley's program there at iHarv TV, which they broadcast their Sunday morning service live at 10 a.m. Eastern time. So anyway, as some of you might know, Rod had throat cancer, and he had to keep quiet for over 6 months. He couldn't talk while he was receiving radiation treatments for the tumor that he had on his vocal cords. So then he claimed that he was healed, and he started preaching again. And now he claims that there's something going on there in his throat. He said it's not the cancer, but something's going on in his throat, and the doctors have told him that he has to shut up for 3 months, or maybe even possibly a year. So he said that they wanted to freeze his vocal cords. Now, can you imagine how drastic of a step that is for somebody that uses their mouth as much as Rod has done, and mainly to propagate a false gospel? So anyway, he nixed the idea of having his vocal cords frozen and opted to be quiet. So, and then in the news this week, another, really, because God Almighty himself is judging this so-called ministry of Rod Parsley's and giving him a chance to repent and get right with God. Also, he had to pay out a $3 million settlement from a 2006 lawsuit for a child that was hit with a ruler in their school. And the parents sued, and they won a $3 million judgment. And Rod was trying to get his insurance company to pay $1 million of this judgment. And the insurance company has refused to pay, so now Rod has to pay. And apparently, they say they're already $900,000 down in their giving, and now they're going to be almost $2 million down in their giving. So we know that when God decides to judge a ministry, if you don't get things right and you don't repent, it's over. It really is. It's over. There's nothing you can do about it, nothing, except get on the straight and narrow. And when I started my program and I took my stand against the prosperity preachers and the seed sowing and the tithing and all that, trying to buy God's favor, I had hoped in my heart that people that had national ministries would also come to the knowledge of the truth in these areas and stop the manipulation, especially in the fundraising, because it is extortion. It's a form of extortion that they use to get money to run these organizations. So I had hoped that through our programs and our website and our YouTube channel that we would be able to reach out to some of these ministries so that we could see a change in the church for the good. And also that we can finish the Reformation and to do things because we're Christians, because we love each other, because we want to help each other, and that should always be our motive. Amen? So those are just a few updates. Next week I'm going to have Ms. Rhonda on, and she worked for the T.D. Jakes ministry, so she has a new book also, and we are going to have a great discussion next week. So stay tuned for that. And then I'm going to do an open letter to Rod Parsley. I hope that he will listen and he will take heart, because the Bible says open rebuke is better than secret love. And so we hope and pray for his deliverance, for his repentance, and so maybe in the future we can call him a brother. Amen. That would be wonderful. So let me bring my guest on. Brenda, see my computer's hanging here. So I'm trying to bring Brenda on here, and this computer is not cooperating. So let me refresh my page and try to get back in to get Brenda on the air. Sometimes this happens, you know, your computers slow down and they don't perform as well as they should. So we start having these issues, but anyway, we'll bring Brenda on here in just a minute. Let me go back to my studio and get Brenda on here. With all this hanging and hanging. So, okay. Brenda.
I'm here. I've been listening to you fight with your computer.
I'm telling you, what a pain today.
But mine is like, going slow, too, so.
Yeah, it's. I guess they're trying to tell you to get a new one. We're going to slow down. Just like when they got rid of, what was it, those Windows programs. They said they weren't going to update anymore, so they were forcing you to buy new software. So
yep.
Who knows. But anyway, Brenda, thanks so much for coming on. I know you're so busy. You're getting your master's, right?
I am getting my master's. In intercultural leadership.
Yeah. Terrific.
It's keeping me busy. I have five classes left.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, very busy.
So,
yeah,
yeah, I'm in a break right now.
Yeah.
So next week, and then I'll be busy again. So.
Yeah, well, maybe you can take a nice long vacation after it's all over, right? And breathe a sigh of relief.
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
But so
maybe
worth
so.
It, really. So worth it.
Yes. Yes, it is. I'm enjoying it, actually.
Yeah.
Even though it's work.
Yeah.
I do miss staying on top of things that, like I have been before. So I miss being on the air. So that day will come again, too. I thank you for giving me the opportunity to get on from time to time. That is great. I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. You're always a blessing because you have so much good information. So Brenda, she's done her homework on so many topics that I don't spend a lot of time researching, but she does. So she's very familiar with the Muslim religion, very familiar with the Jehovah Witnesses, and she's really studied and met these people and spent time with people in these groups. So she has a wealth of knowledge on these topics. But now, Brenda, the shock of all shocks here in London is this new Muslim mayor of London, England.
Are we shocked or are they shocked? Because I'm really not shocked by a Muslim being a mayor. But I am a little bit perplexed that there is a Muslim mayor of London, but it has been coming that direction for a number of years. So it's not surprising to me. I'm really curious to find out from my British friends what they think about it. I haven't really had time to talk to a couple of my friends there, Christian friends. We were on the mission field together.
Yeah.
I haven't had time to talk to them about what they think about it, but I do know that this friend of mine about 10 years ago said that she's not even political, but she feels like they're taking over her country. So she was even feeling it as a Christian 10 years ago. This is part of the, has been in the works for Islam for a while, and he is being propped up as a friendly Muslim. Not that they're not friendly, but that's not their goal, is to be friends with you. It's not their goal to be in democracy. That is not the goal. So to me, it looks like this Sadiq Khan is similar to Obama in that he is trying to make it look as though it's a socially accepted way of life and that everybody else should accept it as on the same level as democracy. Islam is not a democracy. They don't believe in democracy. They actually want to get rid of democracy. So I don't understand why people in democracy think that they are democratic. They will use our democracy to get into power. So they'll use it to their advantage. And that is what's happening in London. If you look at the polls that came in, Sadiq Khan won with 1,310,143 votes.
Wow.
The other party, which was Zach Goldsmith, he is the conservative. Do you know what that is? That's Jewish. That last name is Jewish.
Yeah.
Goldsmith is very Jewish. That's interesting. And his was 994,614. So England was very divided. But if you think about the Muslim population in Europe or in England alone, there is 1.8 million Muslims in England. So I don't know how they do their election processes. If the whole population is nearly in London in the big cities, or if they're scattered throughout the country, but you can probably bet that every single Muslim voted if they had the opportunity.
Sounds like it.
And that is what they've called repopulation, and they've done it. They did it in Lebanon, when Lebanon was a democracy.
Yeah.
And they have intended to do it in Europe, and London and England is on their radar. They are not for the West, but apparently Sadiq Khan went as a person who is socially, liberally, and how we can help ourselves. The whole platform that Obama went on, that you focus on yourself, focus on being internalized. Who cares about everybody else? So he went on the same type of platform. But if people understood Islam, they can understand that Islam is very social, is a social type of socialism.
Yeah.
But it's also a political, it's a theocracy.
Yeah.
It's not a democracy. It's a theocracy.
Yeah.
And they have established the Sharia, which is anti everything else. So he is claiming he is in the middle, but no Muslim can be in the middle. That's just not the way Muslims are. They're not in the middle. And what it looks like from his platform is that he is actually stating the Islamic jihad, which is to us, we know that is now radicalism. But jihad is also internal, and it is also physical. And one of the platforms is to help the poor and the needy, fight for what they believe is right. But that is at the bottom of your ladder, of the ladder, of the rung in the ladder that you have to move up in Islam. Now, radical extremists like ISIS is at the top of the ladder. That's where everybody is going in Islam. I'm not sure, and I don't believe I'm not sure because I haven't studied the Sadiq Khan's total history of his lifestyle, because nobody really ever heard of him until now. He's
no.
a Pakistani. He's a
Pakistani
man.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but he was raised in London. That's why he has a London accent.
Oh, he was raised there.
His father was a was an immigrant, and he was a bus driver. So he actually feeds off of the I started here at the bottom, and now look at where I am. And anybody can do it. So it's talking about progress.
Yeah.
So that's what he went off of when he went for his run for election. But he also went off the platform of uniting Muslims with the West, and that is never going to happen. I don't know why he thinks it can, but I have to assume then that he is either not really Muslim or he's lying, because Muslims cannot gravitate and belong in assimilate into the West. That's not their goal. Their goal is to assimilate the West. There's a difference between assimilating in the West and assimilating the West.
Yeah.
So you can either come by diplomacy and become Muslim, or you can become Muslim by force. Those two. But if they try to do the democracy route and it doesn't work, then they will go through force, because that is their goal, their mission, their what do you do with a group of people who have on one of their goals to die for their faith, to make the whole entire planet Islamic? What do you do with that? And they will die for that. That is their mission. That is their goal. So they have predicted 20 years ago that Islam was going to take over Europe.
Yeah.
And now, I can't remember when this letter was written, but a letter in Islam, it was shortly after 9/11, where a guy had written a letter saying that he is so afraid that Islam is going to take over his country. He says that there will not be any more England. This is somebody from England who's saying that there won't be any more England because the churches are closing and they're being taken over by Islam.
Yeah. Well, that's very true. Now, I took over 35 trips to London in the 1990s doing ministry trips there. And there were quite a few mosques and big ones. And at the time, people were saying that in 10 years, England was going to be mainly Muslim. So I thought, no, that can't be. I couldn't believe it, really. It was hard to believe at the time that it would actually happen. But it is
happening.
But
what do you think now? Yes, you think now.
I'm shocked by the insight that some of these men had back in that day, early 90s, mid 90s, that they had the foresight to see and to warn people about it, because we didn't really take it seriously, I don't think. It didn't affect us, especially in this country. So you didn't see mosques in your neighborhood, and we didn't have 9/11. We didn't have these attacks on our American soil. So you didn't really take it seriously. But you see how serious they really are about their mission and their goal. London's a big city. For the city of London to have a Muslim mayor, that's big.
That's a huge city.
Huge. Huge.
And it's a big prize. It's a big prize for Islam. And he and Sadiq Khan has been seen traveling or speaking next to some of the very radical mullahs in London. And he tries to minimize that by saying that he can't control who he's speaking with, you know, on the platform with.
Yeah.
But you can. You can. And he is. There's a picture that I actually put on my Facebook where he's talking, and behind him is blurred out a person that looks very Islamic, like radical is Islamic, and is blurred out because it doesn't look Western. It looks like Islam.
Yeah.
And he's speaking at his his acceptance speech. So.
It's very
perplexing because now we're seeing, I'm seeing actually what I've been studying. A few years back, I did a show on my As the Day Approaches on the prophets of Islam. And this is when I first started really understanding their goals. And I did all, it was on all the people who are telling us and warning us of what is coming here. And I called them the prophets of Islam, and not as the prophets of Islam, but the prophets who are speaking to us about Islam and warning us about those things.
Yeah.
And these are people, they were Christians and non-Christians alike, who said, that Islam is coming here, it's coming to Europe, wake up, it's coming. And that was this whole show that I did on that. And so I am mesmerized that this is actually happening. You know, you do something and you don't know how much it's going to happen. And you say in your lifetime, you think, oh, maybe it's when I'm a lot older. But it's going really fast.
Yeah, it really is.
And they said 2015 was their goal for Europe, but they've got London 2016. They've got London, England now as somebody's in the highest office in London other than Prime Minister. And it says the mullahs are saying that their goal in London is to have a Muslim Prime Minister. That's their goal.
Yes, and that will happen probably. It probably will happen, especially if they get so many people that are voting. And, of course, it has so much to do with the socialism in London and the immigration policies that they instituted with. They were very lax with their immigration policies, and they were letting just about anybody come into the country and stay in the country illegally, and offering them free education and free housing. Sounds familiar, but it all kind of leads up to this whole one world system that they're trying to propagate. And we see going to Europe and spending time in Europe, and things happened a lot faster there. But we can see the same trends here now of what's happened in Europe. So that part doesn't really shock me because of the way the Bible talks about the Antichrist and the setting up of the one world government, and we see how quickly all of that is happening around us. And
all at the same time. All at the same time in different areas. Same type of, you know, and adding to that all the false teachings. It's the spiritual warfare. It's the spiritual thing that's happening right now. We're getting hit as Christians on every front, and that is political, economical, social, spiritual. we're getting hit on all these fronts, and it is war. And as Christians, we need to put our boots on and go to war. And I'm saying that spiritually, we need to go to war.
Yeah, we really need to be diligent, because truly the days are evil. So we have to stand strong in God's word and try to stay on that straight and narrow path, so that we're not taken in by all of this, because it's easy to be lured in to these kind of policies and these government giveaways and the ultimate control that they'll have over you, because we know as Christians that the government is not our provider. We know that Jehovah Jireh is our provider, and we put our faith and trust in him. So we shouldn't be looking for handouts. The devil's got his hand out. Yeah, it looks like a nice thing, but it's a wolf. It's a wolf. And you'll get hurt. So we have to put our faith and trust in God Almighty, and he will help us. He will get us through everything that we have to get through in these end times. But for people that don't realize, and what is the agenda, the Muslim agenda for the world?
Well, as Christians, we believe that Jesus will bring peace on earth. He will bring peace. He's our true peace.
Yeah.
And when Jesus came, the angels declared that peace on earth, goodwill towards men. So we believe that in peace, and we believe in Jesus establishing his rulership. Okay, but it's not going to be until Jesus comes. His kingdom is not of this world, and he is actually going to come and rule and reign with us. What that looks like, we don't know exactly, but for Islam, they also believe in the rulership of peace. God is going to rule the earth. I consider Islam the false or opposite thing of Christianity, where it appear, where they have a form of godliness without power.
Yeah.
So because they have a form of godliness without power, they are actually taking power. They're doing it by force. That is not, as Christians, that's not how we do it. We do not bring the kingdom of God by force.
No.
They bring the kingdom of God by force. And what they believe is that the kingdom of God will come and they will bring it. That is their goal, is to bring that rulership of Allah, who is not described as the same God in the Jehovah God in the scriptures. So their goal is that the only thing that will bring peace to earth is that everybody on the planet, every country, every nation, every city, every town, every family, every person will become Muslim. And until everybody is Muslim, there can be no peace. I'm not sure how they interpret that, because even among Muslims, there's fighting sects, and they fight against each other.
Yeah.
So it's according to the right Muslim that you will gain peace on earth. And so, and that is to bring Sharia law, and it is to get rid of all infidels, and they will do it by force, because the Quran commands them to do it. Now, the Quran commands them to go to their host country and live among the people and to be submissive to their host country, but all while they're doing that, they're supposed to climb into the social arena, the political arena, and move their way forward to having power in that host country.
Yeah.
once they gain power, then the Quran says that they need, that it would be an offense to Allah should they not destroy everything that is in opposition to them. We saw this in 2012 when they were cleaning house in the nations, the about 15 nations, Islamic nations, Muammar Gaddafi, Hosni Mubarak in Egypt, and Gaddafi in Libya. Those leaders were pandering to the West, or they lived like the West. They also, the Egyptian Mubarak, he had a peace treaty with Israel.
Oh.
That was something that they did not like, so they got rid of him in Egypt. They are getting rid of leaders to actually strengthen their resolve in their country, the countries that were going to be the base of their military and world dominion.
Yeah.
That's what they were doing in 2012, I believe it, 2011, 2012, when we had all that. Then we have the rise of ISIS, and ISIS is now going into countries that are not theirs and taking them over. So not only are they cleaned house first, they started going into countries and taking them by force.
Yeah.
They say that they are disconnected with ISIS, or some do, but that's not true because they're all supposed to be doing what ISIS is doing. ISIS is just being bold about it, and they're going forward. So they, I consider it like a dance. You know, they all have their different parts, and they all come together, and
Yeah. Their
goal is the same. And their goal is for the U.S. to become Muslim. Their goal is for Israel to not exist anymore. So, and the other goal is the West will be no more. And that is their goal. Now, in the scriptures, it talks about in the last days, there will be the 10 toes period. And a lot of us said, and I even said this when I was a teenager, that I think we're living in the 10 toes period. Well, you know, when you contrast Muslims and, you know, the East and the West, the Muslims in their theocracy and the West and democracy, they don't go together. Their ideologies are so different. I can only imagine that that's probably what that means. It's because they're so opposite in how they think that we think that when they say revolution, that they mean democracy. But that's not what they mean. They mean to overthrow democracy by revolution.
Yeah.
And so we just don't get it. And I think we're more naive about that than they are naive about what they're doing. They're taking advantage of our naivete.
Very true.
And going forward with their plan.
Yeah.
They have a very organized plan. And they've been working in the United States since 1992, because I have their manual of how their goal is to make the United States a Muslim country.
Yeah.
It's available online, but
where could people find that? That's interesting. I would like to see that myself.
It's called the Dawa Manual, and it's spelled D-A-W-A-H.
Okay.
And you can just Google Dawa Manual 1992, and it will come up.
Okay.
And it's fairly long, but it's very perplexing when you first read it, because it is very what you would call radical Islamic when you read it. But then when you read the rest of the manual, you'll think it's like a church because it will talk about how they're planning on building their base and how they're going to reach out to the social social sectors of society. It's just like if you were doing church planning or church growth.
Yeah.
And then, but their whole goal is to Islamicize the United States. And that has been in 1992, and they predicted that it would take about 20 years. They're patient. We are so instant that we think if it, we don't see it, it's not there.
Yeah.
But they don't care. We think, oh, you know, he's nice, he's socialistic, and he cares for women and children, and they do want to work with us because they say they do want to work with us, but that's taqiyya. That's what they believe in Islam, that they believe that they can lie for Allah if in the end it will serve Allah's purposes.
Yeah.
And they
obviously
do that quite. Yes, I do that quite well.
Yeah,
and so
they do.
Sadiq Khan in England, there are skeptics wondering when he's going to show his true colors. But he sounds so attractive, and when you see him talk, he sounds so attractive. And I think that's like the tongue of Satan, you know.
Yeah.
He sounds attractive. And you gotta like him. If you listen to him, you wanna like him.
Yeah.
But what this says to all the Muslims is, look at what we have. This is a win-win for us. I tried to look up information about how the radical Islamist mullahs are thinking about this. This win in the election in England.
Yeah.
But it's not been very easy to find. So I think they're being silent right now.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to, you know, stir up the intention, I guess.
Yeah.
And plus, we're in an election here. And Sadiq Khan is saying we must vote for Hillary and not Trump. Well, I can't vote for either, honestly. But he's tempting me to vote for Trump because he's saying he wants Hillary. So, you know, if I want to protect from Muslims, but I don't think Hillary or Trump know much about Muslims. And I think that we've been put in checkmate, because if Hillary gets elected, then they're going to come in through our democracy, and everything that, you know, high offices are going to take over. Gets elected, well, then they have reason to radicalize and say we're going to bomb you, we're going to send terrorism, and so it just gives. Either way, they will work their plan. Either way, so I call that checkmate.
Yeah.
So I don't know what we're going to do, but our government is not, like you said, what we put our trust in. And Christians are going to have to really, really stand on their principles in the Bible and really know what they believe, because they're going to get sucked away with it.
Yeah.
And our
Yeah, it's very
our neighbors,
easy too. Yeah, you see what's happening, how people are so deceived that they would get angry about a temporary Muslim ban to find out who's coming here. People get very upset about that. They don't know what they're talking about, so they don't have any idea.
They don't realize that Carter did the same ban. Yes, he did.
Wow.
He banned all Muslims from coming into the United States when we were when we had the hostage situation.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so why is, you know, a ban when in a time of war, which actually, even if we don't think we're at war, the Muslims or Islam says they're at war with us.
Yeah.
They declared that on 9/11, and they keep declaring that because they declared it on 9/11, and if I can remind the audience that 9/11 in history was a specific date where the Ottoman Empire was destroyed by the West, I think it was 16. Oh, I can't remember the year now. It was 1600s on 9/11, that was the date that the Ottoman Empire was destroyed by a Western front,
yeah,
and started breaking up after that. So they do things with intention. They have said we're at war with you on 9/11, and so.
Yeah, they definitely said that. That definitely was a statement that shocked us all, but the shock didn't remain because
I know
people,
we went back to sleep. Yep.
Yeah, I went back to sleep because they don't understand. People don't, I would say probably half the country anyway, doesn't understand the danger. But so let's talk a little bit now about the Jehovah Witnesses. But we also, people out there, pardon?
What a combination of topics, huh?
Yeah, it is a good combination, though. I think it's very interesting because we have these cults that are deceiving people, and people thinking, especially since the death of this rock and roller prince, and so many people thinking that he was a Christian because he talked about God and he talked about Jesus and. He was a Jehovah's Witness. Now, like I said before, I don't know what happened when he, maybe he knew he was dying when he was dying in that elevator, and maybe he cried out to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he did have some friends that were really Christian, so maybe he heard the gospel. But as far as his public pronouncements, he was a Jehovah's Witness. And Brenda, what did Jehovah Witnesses really believe?
Well, they do not believe that God is a Trinity. That is their basis for their belief. Is they follow just Charles, mixing it up with Mormonism. They follow Charles T. Russell.
Yeah.
And they have significant differences in theology. The founder of Jehovah's Witness, he says this. He says, to me it seems as plain as can be that the Bible declares that the wicked of God, God destroy. Again, those who, during the millennial age, when brought to a knowledge of the truth, shall prove willful sinners will be punished with everlasting destruction. What that means is that this was the basis of his preaching, is that the end of the world is going to come. The end of the world is going to come, and God is going to destroy all those people who are not Jehovah's Witnesses. Only Jehovah's Witnesses will survive the aftermath of God's destruction. I want to make an interesting note on this before I go further, is that when I talk to one of the Jehovah's Witnesses I meet with, or I haven't met with her on a regular basis for a while, but she comes by to visit from time to time. And the last time we had a discussion, we were talking about the death of religion, and that was a title on one of their Watchtower magazines.
Yeah.
And on the cover was it said death of religion, and it had a pastor in the church. So death of religion was really the death of the church, or the Christianity.
Yeah.
And that is their goal. So when I asked her why she thought that Christians were being killed by Muslims and beheaded, and that Jehovah's Witnesses were not. And she said, well, we don't know if there weren't Jehovah's Witnesses. And I said, yes, we do, because if they were, they would have said they were Jehovah's Witnesses. But not one of them said they were Jehovah's Witnesses. It is the church. So why do you believe that, or why do you think that you know, if Satan hates the Jehovah's Witnesses or the church or the true believers, why is he only raging against Christians that you say are the death of religion. And I was actually a little bit surprised because she's such a nice person.
Yeah.
That she said, well, they deserve it. I was a little taken back by that one because she was so straightforward and said, because they deserve it, because God is punishing them for what they believe and because God is not with them. That's why they're being punished, and we're letting it happen because God is destroying them. I was, you know, all this time I've been talking to them and reading about them and knowing how much they hated us. But coming out of her mouth, it was a little hard for me to swallow. So they really, when they come to your door, they love Jehovah and the organization, but they don't love Christians at all. Now, you might have a bad impression of Jehovah's Witnesses because they come to your door and they get annoying. And they sound real nice. But when you put them in a corner like I did with my Jehovah's Witness friend, I do call her a friend because we have established a few years of a relationship, and I really do like her as a person.
Yeah.
And when I heard that coming out of her mouth, it sounded so demonic and so not her. And it really showed the depths of this type of cult. And they are totally against us. They believe that we are the beast of Revelation, the church, not Islam, not Hinduism. You know, they keep saying religion, and when they say religion, they're talking about denominations. So I always have to correct them. You're talking about denominations, not religion. Religion is Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, Sikhism. It's all these religions, and they go, oh, yeah. But they don't even pay attention to confronting them. They confront us.
Yeah.
And so that's just really, really offensive, actually.
It just goes to show you that they'll do anything. They would do anything for their organization, just like
the
Muslims.
And that is what it's for.
Yeah.
The organization is the mouthpiece of Jehovah's Witnesses. I've asked Jehovah's Witnesses if they've ever heard the voice of Jesus, and some of them have made fun of me for saying that. Who are you hearing voices? and it seems like a strange concept to them that you could actually hear Jesus speak to you. They'll quickly turn it to the other sheep. They like to talk about the other sheep that are supposed to go into their fold, which is the Jehovah's Witness organization. And they'll quickly go to that, but they will not say that they hear Jehovah's voice other than through the Watchtower organization. That is Jehovah's voice.
Yeah.
And outside of that, they have no other, they can't hear it individually because they're not supposed to hear it individually. They're supposed to hear what the Watchtower feeds them. The Watchtower feeds them this food, and they receive it as food. Then the strange thing is the only food that they cannot take of is the communion, the bread and the wine, that Jesus said that if you do not take of my body and my blood, if you do not take a memorial for me, then you will not be part of me and you will not be resurrected on the last day. That is John 6:66. That sounds really odd. 6:6. And he says that if you do not eat of my body and blood, you will not be resurrected on the last day. That is a great verse to use with Jehovah's Witnesses to point out to them, if they do not take of the memorial, And that is the name of it. They don't call it the communion. They call it the memorial. If you do not take of it, then you are not guaranteed. And it's not that, don't get me wrong, don't think that taking of the blood and in the, you know, the wine and the bread is actually salvation, because that's not what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
But Jesus, it's just a witnessing point for them to get the idea that Jesus is saying, if you are not taking part of this, if you are just observing it, you are not going to be saved. And that's what was the problem with the Jews, is that they were trying to find salvation through observation and through participation in rituals. So he was saying that you cannot just observe and participate from a distance. You have to come to me.
Yeah.
I am the bread of life.
Yes, I am the bread of life. I am the way. So they don't have any personal relationship with God. They can't feel God's love or his
peace.
They
say they do. They say they do. Yeah, they say they do through the whole rituals of Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, they'll say that they don't have rituals, but they actually do. We all have rituals, but the Jehovah's Witnesses actually do have their own rituals. But they say that through that they have peace, but they don't hear his voice. Not one of them that I talked to heard his voice.
Yeah.
Not one of them wanted to be with Jesus forever in heaven.
Wow.
They wanted to have life on earth, because that's what their salvation is. When they get resurrected from the dead, they will live forever in this physical body on earth. That's what they call paradise. Only the 144,000 get to live with Jesus in heaven and rule over the earth.
So that's
therefore,
what they work for. Is that the reason they come to your door? Is because they're working to be one of the 144,000?
No, they don't want to be. All the ones I talk to, they don't want to be one of the 144,000, because they don't want to live without what they believe, without a body. Without, just as a spirit creature, that they believe Jesus is now a spirit creature, and he didn't resurrect in a body, so he's a spirit creature. They want to have this life on earth with perfection. That's what they want. And they believe that, and this part is true, that God never intended for us to die when he created us. He didn't intend for us to die. Sin brought that upon us.
Yeah.
But they can't, but because that has been changed, so has, you know, God has made a plan before that. We cannot live here on this earth like it is. We can't. And so our bodies will be resurrected. We believe as Christians that when we die, our spirit lives on, whether in heaven or in hell.
Yeah.
But in the end of all time, our body will be resurrected to be reunited with our spirit. When death, or when we sinned, it says, when God said, "You shall surely die," that was a Hebrew word that meant you shall be separated. And so you were at death. We were separated from God instantly at sin, when sin occurred. And when we die physically, we're separated from our flesh and our spirit. Now, in the resurrection, and the importance of the resurrection of our bodies is to become the creature that God made us to be from the very beginning. And so we will reunite our spirit in our flesh. But the Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe that you live on. When you die, then they believe in what is called soul sleep.
Yeah.
Where body will go to sleep, you will not function, and you will not exist anymore.
Oh.
But God, yeah, it's called annihilation. They believe that your body will be sleeping, but you will no longer be, because you do not live on afterward. This is one of the main doctrines that Charles T. Russell got from the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Oh.
He tells in his testimony that he went into a period of darkness because he could not believe that God, a God who sends a person to hell, is a loving God. And one day, when he was in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and they believe in annihilation as well, he said, "Hey, that is acceptable to me. That makes sense." And he took that from the Seventh-day Adventist and went with it in his doctrine and said, "It is an offense to God to say that God will send a person to hell." I say, as a Christian, that it's an offense to me and to God to say that he is not just and he will not punish those who are unrighteous, and that he, a holy God, will not have those standards. So that's a huge doctrine for them. And if you could get them off of some of their regular program, they're very scripted. They're very, very scripted. And if you can say things that they don't expect, then they will actually be able to listen to what you're saying a little bit
better. What are some of the things that they don't expect? So if you ever encounter one, I don't engage them at all anymore. But if someone wants to engage them, how would they do that?
Well, the typical argument, and this is what we learn in apologetics for Jehovah's Witnesses, are the Trinity. If you can prove the Trinity, that Jesus rose in a physical body, that life everlasting, the soul, the difference between the soul and the spirit. If you can do all those, then you can win arguments. But Jehovah's Witnesses are very astute to argue in those areas. The one example is that is a good example is the memorial taking of his body and blood. That particular scripture, they're not aware of. Also, I tried to avoid the military one, but I had one Jehovah's Witness that said that it was their idea about the military that actually converted him, and he became an elder in Jehovah's Witness. And I was pondering and puzzled by why, how could I talk to somebody like that elder about the military? Well, they say that part of salvation in righteousness is not being part of the military. There's a problem in that Jesus didn't have the same view, nor did John. They didn't believe that stepping out of the military had anything to do with righteousness. And there are scriptures. There's a scripture in John about John the Baptist that one of the soldiers came to him and said, how do I find eternal life? And he said, be satisfied with your wages. That's what John said, is to be satisfied with his wages. So if he was supposed to step out of the military, then he should have told him, you need to quit being in the military. So John forgot about what was said. So pointing out who John is very important. It throws him off script. And the other thing is when Peter went to the centurion to show him, to share with him what is eternal life, and it was, of course, Jesus was eternal life, he failed to tell the centurion that he could no longer be a centurion. So what he did say is, wow, now the gifts of God are even with the Gentiles. And God so happened to use a Gentile who was actually a commander in the military. So that is very big for Jehovah's Witnesses. And, and so they really like to argue that one, but they don't argue it on those points. Another place that throws them off script is trying to minimize or try to change what they believe about their own belief system, such as paradise on earth. What is that going to look like? What does paradise on earth look like? Well, when you start asking them questions about paradise and you say, what do you have that I should have, you know, that is better than what I already have? They will tell you that, you know, everybody who believes in Jehovah will be resurrected and will have another 1,000 years to work out their salvation. And God will have these books that it talks about in Revelation. He'll have these books, and from these books that we don't know about, he'll tell us how to follow them. But those aren't that hard, they say. They say there that if you love God, you'll want to follow them. But the problem is that when they are resurrected, they will be resurrected with sin. And if you can get them on that and say, is it true that you're resurrected with sin? That question. Ask them that question. They don't want to answer that question right away because that's not the right answer, the right question yet. Especially if they're at your door.
Yeah.
Because they're wanting to work you through to that understanding. They don't want it straight up. They don't want you to say that to them. Because they don't want to be, you know, when they just say it like that, it doesn't sound very good.
Yeah. Now,
then I would say, well, I thought you were bringing me good news, because to me that's not good news. What I have is better.
Yeah.
I have a better good news. I have a good news that when I die and Jesus resurrects my body, it will be perfect. I won't have to work anything off. And so now you're turning the conversation from them trying to witness to you witnessing to them.
Yeah, which is hard to do, because I was out in my front yard one day, and they walked up my driveway, and I said, look, I'm really not interested right now. So I said, I'm a Christian, and I'm not interested in Jehovah's Witnesses. So they said, they had this, you know, glassy look in their eyes and this smile on their face. We're Christians too. And I said, no, you're not. I said, you're not born again. Oh, yes, we are.
They don't really understand what born again is, because I don't know if they've gotten an argument with that now, because the ones I've talked to said, born again, what is that? What does that mean?
Well, they were just trying to talk to me, I guess, and they were saying anything just so they could keep talking. And so I said, look, just please go away, and I don't want to be bothered right now, and don't come back because I'm not interested. But they don't listen. They come back anyway.
Yeah. They do. They're very persistent.
They're very persistent.
On Prince, when he, you know, I've never followed Prince, his music.
I didn't really listen to his music.
Yeah, I was never interested in Prince.
No.
But he's from Minnesota, Minneapolis, Minnesota.
I grew up
there. I went to school.
Oh.
You know, my family is in Minnesota.
Oh.
And the Kingdom Hall that he went to was in St. Louis Park, which that's where I went to school, was that area. So I knew that area. But the interesting thing that they said on the newscast was the Jehovah's Witness Church. That's not something they would even say. They don't want to be associated with the church. So for the newscast to say that this is the Jehovah's Witness Church, for some reason they either were ignorant about the Kingdom Hall or they were trying to make it sound more Christian.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're not Christian. They say they are Christian, excuse me. They say they are Christian.
Yeah, they say that.
But they do not hold to the fundamentals that make you Christian. They don't believe in that God, Jesus is God. They don't believe the Holy Spirit is a person. They believe the Trinity is actually a pagan belief. That is actually getting quite popular, and it's slanderous of the scriptures because it is very, very easy to prove that the scriptures say that God is a Trinity. It's not as easy, and this is what they try to have you prove, to prove what that looks like, I mean, other than the three that we have, to understand it. There's one thing that we don't understand, how that all works together, but that doesn't mean the Bible doesn't introduce Jehovah as three in one. And the interesting part of all this about the Trinity is that Jesus himself is the one who introduces God as three.
Yeah.
It wasn't until Jesus that we understood what this one God was. He showed what the Father and the Son and the Spirit was like. He introduced them all separately and apart from himself, but yet at the same time, he himself was directed as Jehovah.
It's very interesting, though, how these cults and these groups, they put that label on themselves as Christian, and then they try to sell themselves as Christian, and that Christians actually believe it, which I found astonishing, that how many people were saying that, well, he was a Christian. Yeah, no.
His fruit was not a Christian, and I think he became it says that he became a Jehovah's Witness after his mother died. In 2002, I believe, is what it said that he became a Christian, a Jehovah's Witness, because his mother wanted him to be one.
Yeah.
So I believe that's where he became committed in that sense. But I don't see any fruit, but I don't follow him lately either. So I don't I don't see how the Jehovah's Witnesses can accept him. I can. They can even accept Hitler. They say Hitler is going to be resurrected. So, yay, good for us. The world is going to have Hitler back. And the reason why he is going to be resurrected is because he didn't get a chance to hear the message about Jehovah's Witnesses. So anybody that hasn't heard about Jehovah's Witnesses will be resurrected. So, yay, that's going to be a party. I'm going to love that. And they're all going to be resurrected with sin to try to work it all out. And then I asked him, I said, so when they're all resurrected and they're with sin, what if they sin? Oh, well, God is going to just go poof and get rid of them just like that. I was like, yep.
That's amazing. Yep. Prince now, then after he died, they had an interview with the head of the Kingdom Hall there, wherever he attended. I don't know if they called him a pastor or what. I can't remember. But
an elder.
Anyway, they called him an elder.
And they called Prince a brother. The brother,
yeah,
brother
they did,
Prince.
Yeah. Yeah, they called him that. And the elder actually was an older gentleman. It looked like he might have been in his early 70s. And he really loved Prince. He cried when he talked about him. And he said how much they loved him. And he claims that he was going door to door with them, and they went to this one door, and the lady said, "You look a lot like Prince, you know." And he didn't say anything; he didn't identify himself, but he actually was going door to door.
I wonder if they went door to door in St. Louis Park, because St. Louis Park, there's mostly Jewish people living there.
Oh. I wonder, do they try to evangelize the Jews? That would be interesting.
I'm sure they try, but that would be interesting. My Catholic school I went to Catholic high school, was in St. Louis Park, and right next door to us was a Jewish synagogue.
Yeah.
We actually took our ACT test in the synagogue. So, yeah, that was long ago. But mostly Jews in that area. The Jews also vetted our school for Gentiles. They came to us, and I don't know how I heard about this, but they came and asked me if I would like to work for a Jewish person on their Rosh Hashanah in their house and serve them.
Yeah.
I did do that. So because I was Gentile, they couldn't do certain things. But yeah, St. Louis Park, where that Jehovah's Kingdom Hall was, Jehovah's Witness Kingdom Hall, was very Jewish. So I wonder if he went door to door in that neighborhood.
Yeah, that would be interesting how the conversation between those two ideologies would be very interesting, because I found that I didn't know that much about what to say to them, so that's why I didn't engage them. And when I talk to you and I find out, then if I ever do engage them, what I have to say. Because if you engage them, they don't leave. My neighbor across the street, I guess he took their literature. They
yep.
come to his house all the time now. They come and visit, and they bother him.
If you take their literature, they will come back.
Yeah.
And so you'll have a Jehovah's Witness, if it's the first time they've come to your house, they'll say, we're not going to spend much time, you know, but we just thought you would be interested in some literature about God, and they'll give it to you, and then they'll make note of it that you took it, and then they'll come back and talk to you.
Yeah, they don't leave it anymore. They used to leave it, but they don't leave it anymore. But I guess my neighbor was being nice, and so he took it, and then I saw the car there quite a few times. They were coming back, and I guess he was still trying to be nice by telling them to stay away, but he didn't want to offend them, so he just kept answering the door, and then I'd see the car staying longer and longer at his house. thinking to myself, yeah, they're trying to convert him, I know it. Oh, I don't think he fell for it, but they, yeah,
yes.
Once they want to get into your house. Don't let them in.
Yeah. I would not advise that to young Christians.
No.
But I mean, I've got a gift of evangelism, so unless you're trying to convert them in a way that is, you know, not necessarily what we're really taught to evangelize, then I would probably not evangelize them, because
yeah.
What they'll do is they won't come out in your knowledge of scripture. They don't really have a lot of knowledge of scripture, but they sound like they do.
Yeah, they do.
They use
sound
the same
like
scriptures again and again. In Florida, when I was in Florida, I told you the guy that was in the military as an elder, he would bring different people with him. And I got so bored with him coming because he kept saying the same thing over and over again. So I tried to throw him off script, and I could never get them to get off script.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to get them off. They kept going
back.
Yeah,
they do that. They do that, yeah. That's why I don't engage them, because it could be maddening. You know, if you can't get through to them, they're like, they're so robotic. And
but we are told that we are supposed to evangelize all people. So, you know, I don't want to say that someone is beyond evangelism, even the Muslim.
Oh
you
yeah,
know,
I agree. I agree. But yeah, you better know, be prepared to have an answer for what you believe if you're going to evangelize them, because they won't leave you alone, especially once they think they might have a fish on the hook for them. So, yeah, if you're going to engage them, and yes, we are to evangelize. So just be prepared. And some of the things that Brenda mentioned today about how to witness to a Jehovah Witness is something to take to heart, so that you will be prepared to share with them the gospel and maybe break through that hypnotized look that they have, because it is, it's robotic, and they do have, like you said, they do say the same thing over and over again, and that's also a form of mind control. So it's very, very sad. But anyway, Brenda, I want to thank you so much for coming on today. Thank you. I appreciate it so very much.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I always enjoy having you because I always learn something, and I know the audience learns something, and it's a great blessing. So keep us updated on your progress, and when you go back on the air, that'll be great.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much.
And we'll have you back again.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, bye-bye.
God bless.
Yes, thank you. All right, everybody, we want to thank you for tuning in today, and I hope that you can take the information to heart and use this information to be a blessing. So God bless you all, and don't forget the most important thing today is to ask Jesus Christ to come into your life. Ask him to forgive you of your sins, because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Repent of your sins today and ask Jesus to forgive you and to be your Lord and Savior. The Bible says in the book of Romans, and read the book of Romans, that confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. And Jesus said himself in the Gospel of John, the 3rd chapter, that ye must be born again. Once you are born of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. And there should be a change in your life. There should be evidence of your born-again experience. You should be bearing fruit. And serving God, reading your Bible, and finding out for yourself what the Bible teaches, so that you will not be deceived in these end times when there's so much deception. So don't forget, read your Bible this week. It's good news, it's comforting news, and it's a wonderful life to know Jesus. Thank you, everybody, for listening today. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. Someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.